Adam Thompson is an emerging Pākehā writer from Launceston. For the past 20 years, he's worked in Aboriginal land management and heritage with the Tasmanian Aboriginal Centre. And he spent a lot of time listening, preserving community history in the Bass Strait Islands and across Tasmania. Born into This is his debut. It's a number of short stories knitted together in what's been described by some of his peers as a compelling, evocative and beautifully written collection from a world-class writer.
I started writing, I think I wrote the first story in about 2016. I'm 43, so I've kind of started writing a bit late. I've always been writing, but I never really directed my thoughts to anything in particular until I wrote that first story in 2016. And that story is called Honey, and it's in the book. And I wrote that for a local short story competition that was part of the Tamar Valley Writers Festival. And it did okay, and I guess off the back of that little win, I had a bit of confidence, and I just thought, oh well, this is good, and I'll keep going with this. And over the next couple of years, I wrote quite a lot more stories, and out of that came this collection.
There's something about the power of the short story. What is it about the short story that compels you as a writer?
I like reading short stories. I like that they're, quite spare and economical. I think that, the reader doesn't invest a lot of time in a short story. So as a writer, you don't have to wrap everything up in a neat little bow. Not everything has to be resolved, or as resolved as in a novel. And so I think with a short story, you can leave a really lasting impression on people. Stories that I like, I tend to be thinking about them later on. And they make me feel something. So I think, short story is a perfect way to do that. I don't consider myself a writer so much as a storyteller. I didn't have any background in creative writing. I haven't done any training or anything like that. With me, I started as a storyteller, I guess, and then I kind of learnt the craft of writing as I went. And I think that's a good way to go, as opposed to the other way around, having that education and technical skills in writing first and then coming out into the world and trying to conjure up stories. Had I have tried to write these stories as a much younger person, I wouldn't have had the material. It was just the right time in my life to really get started, and I just had the right amount of life experience. And a lot of those experiences of what I've written about have kind of come, over the last probably, 20 or 30 years. And, a lot of experiences that I've had through working with the Tasmanian Aboriginal Centre and in the Tasmanian Aboriginal community and in my community, it's kind of really just prepared me for now, for this storytelling. I spent a lot of time on the islands in Bass Strait in my early 20s and working over there, and that's such an amazing place. And when you leave the islands, there's so much history there. Our family's history, and the islands are so unique, and it really leaves an impression on you. And you come away from spending time on places like that, and it just stays with you. And I guess for me, these stories have been a way for me to creatively reconstruct those islands in the form of these stories. It's the only way I can kind of put it into words. So really, it's these experiences that I've had, the life I've lived and everything that's happened in these 43 years that's kind of prepared me for writing now. I've always been a reader, but I never really felt compelled to write until the last few years.
And very much the inspiration in these stories, you can feel it's palpable where you draw your inspiration. But tell me about your work with the Tasmanian Aboriginal Centre, known as the TAC. What kind of work were you doing there?
Well, I've worked at the TAC for almost 20 years now, and I started off, like I said, working over on the islands doing a bit of building with an Aboriginal builder over there, and that was great, spending that time on the islands doing that work, and it was really isolated. And then I went on to do land management work, so I was a ranger, an Aboriginal ranger on the islands. I worked on Chapel Island and Badger, a bit out at Babel Island, and I did that for about 8 years, and during that time, I started doing more of the paperwork and coordinating the program And I started working a little bit more from Launceston then. And then after about 8 years of that, I left and just went on a working holiday into the Northern Territory for a couple of years and came back. And I started working for the TAC, preserving community history, collecting old photos, things like that. And I've worked on campaigns and, you know, with our board and some admin stuff and, you know, a whole range of things. I'm very, very lucky and privileged to work at the TAC. It's such a inspirational place, you know, that, and I'm in awe of the people who have, you know, got the centre up and running, people like Heather Sculthorpe and Michael Mansell and others, many others, and, you know, have been advocating for the rights of Tasmanian Aboriginal people and all Aboriginal people since the 70s. You know, so I'm really, like I said, very grateful and for all the opportunities that I've had through the TAC and I'm still getting today.
So all the inspiration in these stories, I want to seize on a particular story which I find very compelling, and it's a story called Descendant. And there's a young character in it, a young character called Dorothy. I wonder if you could tell me a little bit about that story.
That story is about a teenage girl, a high school age student, who is very, very proud of her Aboriginal heritage. And, you know, she's the only Aboriginal girl in her grade. She runs this little committee of Aboriginal students, and she's very dedicated to that. That's her life. And one day, one of the kids in her class, this girl, puts her hand up and says that she's Aboriginal, but she's just a descendant. So Dorothy kind of goes on this rampage to try and just, you know, find out about this girl. And she discovers that this girl is, you know, has got no Aboriginal heritage at all. And it draws the attention of that to her teachers and the principal. And anyway, they don't care and basically say, look, we'll accept anybody as being Aboriginal. And that story is... It's what's happening, you know, all across Australia, but especially in Tasmania. You know, we've got this group of Aboriginal people who, you know, have been Aboriginal all their lives. We're very guarded about our community and we're very concerned about the authenticity of our community. And there's people who, you know, over the years are popping up saying that they're Aboriginal and they're not. You know, they don't have Aboriginal ancestry. They're not recognised by the community. But because of, you know, the way that Aboriginality is dealt with nationally and by the state, you know, if they tick the box, then they're considered to be Aboriginal. And it's a huge issue down here, and I'm sure it is all across Australia, that these people who are kind of getting in these positions where they have say over Aboriginal land, where they have these influential positions and they have the ear of government, you know, these yes people, they're not Aboriginal at all. And it's a big concern, you know, that's what this story is really about. It's about identity and Aboriginality. In Dorothy's world, it's not okay to say you're Aboriginal if you're not. But unfortunately, when it comes to services and things like that, you know, the nationally and in the state government, they have their own process. And really, it's just if you say you're Aboriginal, that's enough for us.
Mm.
But it's not enough for the Aboriginal community.
No.
It's just not.
And never has been. I want to talk a little bit about the ringing endorsements you've had from some of your peers in this field into which you're emerging as a writer. I think Ellen van Nieuwen, you know, refers to you as a world-class writer, and Melissa Lukashenko uses the word compelling to describe this Debut collection. And Bob Brown uses the words beautiful and evocative. And I want to talk about that kind of sense of evocation in your writing, and this particularly the way you create, or I guess recreate, those beautiful Bass Strait Islands. I mean, I've never been to the islands, but I remember vividly flying into Hobart 2 years ago and flying over the top of the north of the island, you know, your country, and seeing these islands, and just, they just looked magical from the sky. I can't wait to you know, get permission to visit the islands. Tell me about the Bass Strait Islands and how much power you draw from them.
Yeah, well, you know, we've got, you know, apart from the kind of the geography of the place, we've got our, you know, our family's history and heritage there. You know, my grandmother was born on Cape Barron Island in the reserve, the Aboriginal reserve, and, you know, lived on Cape Barron and Flinders Island and Badger Island. And so, you know, and my great grandmother lived there, and all these people from my history, all there. And you go to these places now, probably with the exception of Cape Barren Island, because on Cape Barren there is a population of people. But some of these other islands, some of the Muttonbird Islands and places like Badger Island, there is no one living there permanently. We have rangers that kind of work across those areas, but there's no kind of permanent residence. And, you know, so you walk around and there's, you know, this amazing environments. There's all this, you know, the foundations of these old Muttonbird sheds and these old houses and... you know, and you can read the historical material, and you can read about the people that were there, and you see these old images. Like I said, a part of my job for the TAC is collecting these old photos. So you look at these pictures and these, you know, families and people, you know, on these islands, they were so alive. There's so much history and heritage there. But when you go there now, you know, that's not there anymore. But these places, it's like they're kind of haunted in a good way with this good experiences and this amazing history that we've got. And when you're there and you're working, and after work you walk around the island and you're kind of looking around the rocks and you're finding things, and you're looking around the old Muttonbird ruins, it's just amazing, and it leaves a lasting impression on you. And as a writer, as a storyteller, I'm absolutely compelled to write about those places. And now I've got a partnership with the Muttonbird Shed on Big Dog Island, and we go muttonbirding every year with some really good friends of mine and community members, my family. It's just such an amazing experience, and it's an experience that not many people outside of our community would ever have. So I guess to be able to bring elements of that life and those places and kind of give it to the world through a short story, I think that's something pretty special.
The debut author Adam Thompson and his book Born Into This is published by UQP.